So last night and again this morning we were exploring this quality of equanimity, the capacity of our hearts and minds to stay steady and balanced, even in the face of life's inevitable ups and downs. And this afternoon I'd like to continue focusing on equanimity, partly because it is such a powerful resource for us to have, particularly as the retreat comes to an end. Because with the ending of the retreat, we have a very valuable opportunity to notice our default patterns, the ways we habitually relate to endings. So some of us have the tendency to skip over the endings and jump right to the next thing that we think is going to make us happy. So for some people, you may have already cleaned your room 3 times, your suitcase might be fully packed, and the first 2 wheels are already half out the door. So if you notice that sort of energetic leaning forward and the anxiety in that, see if you can just settle back, come back to center, this moment, here and now, present moment awareness. Some people have the opposite of holding on tightly and resisting the ending, embracing themselves and clinging to every moment for as long as possible. No, I haven't had any insights yet. What am I going to tell people when I get home? And so you might notice that sort of energetic pulling back and stiffening and bracing. And again, see if you can breathe in and breathe out. Center the body, center the mind, present moment awareness. And other people have the tendency just to disconnect completely, to not even realize, oh, does it finish tomorrow? I thought it was the day after. They barely even register that change is occurring until suddenly they're back at home or back at work, wondering what just happened. So these are all very common reactions to the ending of a retreat, and often we find ourselves flip-flopping between all three of them at different times, which, as you might have recognized, these are common manifestations of greed, hatred, delusion, our old friends or frenemies. It's not all bad, though, because I know that every one of you has experienced many moments of equanimity, that capacity to just know what's happening without getting caught in these habitual patterns of reactivity. And we might even surprise ourselves with this newfound way of orienting to all the changes that are going on right now. So I'd like to read you a quote by Pema Chodron, because she describes this process, the challenges and the benefits of practicing equanimity very well. She says, "To cultivate equanimity, we practice catching ourselves when we feel attraction or aversion before it hardens into grasping or negativity. We train in staying with the soft spot and use our biases as stepping stones for connecting with others. Strong emotions are useful in this regard. Whatever arises, no matter how bad it feels, can be used to extend our kinship to others who suffer the same kind of aggression or craving, who just like us get hooked by hope and fear. This is how we come to appreciate that everyone's in the same boat. We all desperately need more insight into what leads to happiness and what leads to peace. It's easy to continue, though, even after years of practice, to harden into a position of anger and indignation. However, if we can contact the vulnerability and rawness of resentment or rage or whatever it is, a bigger perspective can emerge. In the moment that we choose to abide with the energy, instead of acting it out or repressing it, we're training in equanimity, in thinking bigger than right and wrong. This is how all the 4 limitless qualities of kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity evolve from limited to limitless, We practice catching our mind hardening into fixed views and do our best to soften. Through softening, the barriers come down. So this afternoon I'd like to practice this movement from hardening into old habits of anxiety or worry or resisting or craving or whatever they may be, and softening into equanimity, doing it through some more relational practice. So we'll be working together in pairs again, using the first two guidelines that we were exploring at the start of the retreat, the insight dialogue guidelines of pause and relax. And this time I'll be bringing in the third of these six guidelines, which is open. And open is interesting because in some ways it's inviting us to do the opposite of what we usually do in meditation, which is close. We close our eyes, we withdraw from too many so-called distractions. We shut out unnecessary sense input. And in the traditional language of the Buddha's teachings, in the refrain from the Satipatthana Sutta, this is described as contemplating internally, so bringing our awareness into our own experience. And this contemplating internally is what most people think of as meditation. But as our practice develops, just as we've been doing over the course of these days, we expand the field of awareness to include every aspect of experience, the six sense doors. And as we open to all the sense doors, of course, then we include the presence of other people too. And this is in line with the other part of the refrain from the Satipatthana Sutta, which invites us to contemplate internally, contemplate externally, and to contemplate both internally and externally. So here we get to practice meditation in relation to our co-meditators with their support. So we can use the relational field between us as a support for our mindfulness. So as we practice with this guideline of open, we'll be very directly doing both internal, external, and contemplating both. Okay.